I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sans Pants Radio, if your glasses fog up, throw them out.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to another episode of Movie Maintenance, where some franchises just need rebooting. I'm Damien.
I'm Handsome Tom.
I'm Gabe.
And this week, Animorphs.
Is there a soundtrack for Animorphs?
Yes, there is. And I know every word to the opening theme.
All right, Gabe.
And I'm not going to sing it.
Just speak it to me, man.
It goes, it's all in your hands. Something, no back turning. Got to make a stand. It's all in your hands.
Oh, well done.
And then Animorphs comes up on the screen.
Wow.
That was one of my most treasured childhood memories. Was reading those books. I would have been. Shit, how old was I?
We would have been young because I'm young. Because you're younger than me.
I think so.
So I'm gonna say that I was like grade 4, grade 5 when I was reading Animorphs. So you'd be a bit younger than me.
It was one of the very, very first book series I ever got into. So I think, in fact, you know what? I reckon I was in year 3, or maybe even younger, year 2.
That holds up for my grade 4, grade 5.
I reckon year 2 or year 3, and I remember my mind being blown when I read these books. And I read them all out of order. I read like 3, and then like 11, and then like 25, and then like 1, and then you know. But I remember then finding out.
Do you need
there was
to
a
read
TV
them in
show.
Order?
And then, I remember finding out there was a TV show, and I was at that age where I wasn't mega used to watching live action films that weren't extremely colourful.
Yeah, okay.
So I remember finding out there was a TV show on ABC Kids, getting really excited, like spending like minute after minute after school being like, yes, Animorphs. And I think the episode that came on was some random episode and had a cold open. And it was like Jake and his family sitting around the dinner table, and then Vissa 3 turns up and starts talking to them. And I remember sitting there watching it being like, what the fuck is this? This isn't Animorphs. Where are the animals in the action? I remember my younger brother, who was like maybe 5, just yelling out, "Mom, the wrong thing's on TV."
Mom's going to take care of it. Mom
will fix this. Right? Of course, she can fix ABC Kids. And then the opening credits came in and it was the best.
Yeah.
Can I say not,
because that show wasn't very good.
That show wasn't very good, which is partially what we're doing here today. Not fixing, but we're relaunching it and rebranding it. But I will say this. When I watched that show, I reckon I got onto the books, found out there was a show, was really excited, and watched the episode where they with Jake, and they sneak into the Yerk's base by using the secret password at the burger joint.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was the kid at that age who didn't like cheese in my burgers, so I then became super paranoid that if I went into a restaurant and ordered a cheeseburger, hold the cheese, they'd be like, oh yes, come on through to our secret Yerk dungeon. Because I was at the point where I wasn't 100% sure that the Yerks were definitely... not like, okay.
Right.
There was a part of me that when I was young enough reading those books where it starts off, it was like, my name is Jake. I can't tell you my last name because this is real. That was like, is this real? Like, I was young enough to not understand the difference between the like, this is a true story, but not actually a true story.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was the perfect audience for
Fargo,
basically.
Did you freak out anytime you saw a slug anywhere?
Oh, look, I probably already did. I was probably a pretty sensitive boy.
You're a very sensitive little dog.
I was scared of slugs and horses with eye stalks. They also terrified me.
Whenever they rocked on, man, I lost
whenever
my shit.
An Andalite turned
was
up.
Was it one of, because in the books, when they went into the Yerk pool, I think it was, it was, they go to McDonald's and it's, I want a Happy Meal with extra happy. Yeah, and that was the code, I think.
I don't think they couldn't do it for the TV show because McDonald's.
I don't think Nickelodeon circa 1996 had the rights.
Although weirdly, I feel like they should have, because that's you know, my favorite book and the first book I read, actually, I'm going to lie.
Mm.
The first book I read, not necessarily my favorite book, the first book I read was, the one where Tobias learns how to transform back into Tobias again.
Yeah,
that was one of the later ones I read.
Yeah,
which is really disconcerting. That was the first. Like, I read that one and then read the first one again and was like, okay, but that book and that story of Tobias learning to be from a hawk back into a man. Mm. That's the best.
Anything with Tobias was the best.
Yeah,
because he was. I think
can we all agree, Marco was the shittest.
Oh.
You're going to say Rachel, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I like Rachel, and I was going to say Cassie. I was like, no, I'd like Cassie.
Jake.
No, yeah, Marco was the shittest.
Yeah, Marco was the shittest.
But still had his...
Marco had the nice twist, though. Marco's mum is...
Yeah.
Vissa One.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
Because I think the third one was the first one I read, and that was the first Tobias-centric book.
Yeah.
That's where he got stuck.
No, he got stuck in the first one. He gets stuck at the very end of the first one.
That's right, when they're escaping.
They go... Because isn't the Yerk pool in the school? And they go in, and they're escaping, and they all kind of scatter, and then... Tobias comes to Jake's room at the end. Jake's like, oh, turn back. And he's like, I can't.
It's 90 minutes, isn't it?
2 hours.
2 hours.
2 hours.
And then you become a Nufflet. Was that what it was called?
Yeah. Well done. Yeah.
You're stuck. Oh, man. And then he had to like go into like a dreamscape. And no, it was a dreamscape thing. But then he also, as a bird, had to touch his own clothes so he could get the DNA of Tobias back. But the catch was he could only be Tobias for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Or he had to give up his morphing ability.
That's right. That's what he was offering.
And that was the whole conflict. Yeah. And it was it the Elemist who.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, because there was the Elemist and his, like, who was basically God.
God, yeah.
And then the Krayak, who was basically Satan. Yes. And they were, like, constantly...
It was basically them playing a battle of chess with the universe.
And the pawns they had were the Yerks and the Andalites.
Yeah, and then
humans. And can we just talk
middle,
a little bit about, like, how good was the expanded universe of that? Like, the Hawk-Bajir Chronicles.
Amazing.
That was my favorite book.
Broke my heart.
That's your favorite book.
Like, was it Dax and... Aldria. Dax and Aldria.
Because all the Andalites, their name started with A, I'm pretty sure.
Mm. No, because Ciro was the one who gave them... Wait. No. Oh, Fangor gave them the morphing technology.
Yep.
Ciro was the one who... Was he the one who, like, started the war? He did something with the Yerks.
He teamed up with the Yerks, and that's how the Yerks got the...
Yeah, and then he got disgraced, and him and his daughter Aldria got sent to the Hawk-Bajir planet.
Yep.
And then that was when all that shit went on, and Aldria fell in love with Dax, who was a Hawk-Bajir seer, like an intelligent Hawk-Bajir.
Yeah.
He could see. Yeah,
because the rest of them
were
all just kind of
dumb. The rest of them were very simple.
And the Taxons? How fucking terrifying were the Taxons? Yeah. Like, and whenever they like morphed into a Taxon, they just had the hunger, like that uncontrollable hunger. Oh, like, fuck!
Everything.
And then there was Elfangor's friend in the Andalite Chronicles, who was like his sidekick, who got trapped in the Taxon morph, and he came back way later in the series and helped them.
Yeah.
But he was like an out of control Taxon, where occasionally the hunger would just take just over. But he was like leading a Taxon rebellion against the Yerks.
Oh,
they were so good.
And then there was Axe, who came into it.
Yep, Elfangor's younger brother.
Oh.
Well, speaking of favorite sort of storylines, model books, mine was the one where he has to be Jake. Because Jake gets infected.
Yeah.
So I like it for two reasons. One, because he's so shit at being human and it's hilarious.
Such a good character.
And two, then Jake basically, because he's got infected by one of the Yerks, he can still use his morphs. So they have to take him to the forest for 3 days and basically battle his various morphs until the Yerk dies.
That's right. Because they have to keep him out in the forest for 3 days because that's when it will starve to death.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah, because they have to come out every 3 days.
And they have to fight. And meanwhile, Axe and I want to say Cassie have to pretend that everything's fine at school. And Axe is like, hi, I am Jake.
I am
Hello, friends.
Amazing.
Oh, great. The other one I was going to say is the other favorite book of mine, besides The Return, which is the Tobias transforming one,
and
the Hawk-Bajir Chronicles, is the Megamorphs, which are the really big ones. The dinosaur one with the Syro Rip?
Yeah.
The thing that opens in time and
there
space.
There were those, I don't know if they were aliens or just like primordial beings, but there was like this whole species going on there with the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And Marco learns how to morph into a T-Rex.
Yeah.
The best thing Marco ever did.
The only good thing he did
beside his mum being evil.
What were the Megamorphs? Was the first one where they lost their memories?
The first one was when they went back in time and they didn't get the morphing power.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Because because again, all of them were about time travel because it was those weird primordial beings that created the rips in time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
And the first one was they went back in time and something happened and Jake or Marco, one member of the team had, like, was from the future coming back to the past and decided to make them go somewhere else. So they didn't walk past that alleyway. They didn't get the thing. And I'm pretty sure Rachel or Tobias ends up being a Yerk.
Yeah, right. And then the second one was the dinosaurs. And the third one was that, the third one blew my mind. That's one of my all-time favorites. When they go all throughout history.
And
they do like Washington crossing the Delaware and then Jake just dies.
Yep.
And you're like, wait, what the fuck? And then he's back again, the next one. And then they're like at the Battle of Trafalgar and they all get blown up and they just keep dying.
And it just keeps
looping. Because I remember like thinking, holy shit, Jake just died. And the other one that I remember really, really sticking with me was it was like a trilogy of books where they got a sixth Animorph. David was his name.
David, that's right.
And he was kind of really dodgy. And then the end of the second book in that series, it ended with him like, I think he turns up in Marco's room with a dead hawk in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've killed Tobias. Now I'm going to, he's in a bird morph.
Yep.
He's like, now I'm going to go kill Jake. And then he goes and he fights Jake in tiger form. And the book ends with Jake like bleeding to death, like falling into darkness.
Yeah.
And I remember going to school the next day and I went to a Steiner school. So the day always started with us all getting in a circle and having a bit of a sing. And I'm standing in a circle and everyone's singing like happy Steiner songs. And I'm sitting there just like, completely blank face,
dead inside, replaying Jake's death over and over, a single tear rolls down.
Oh, it was devastating. I had a rough couple of days.
What about the Choose Your Own Adventure series? Where you were an animal?
Alternimorphs.
Yeah. So you got to read it and like you died a lot.
Yeah.
You die a lot.
Yeah.
There's literally one part where you end up traveling through time to all of their other adventures, I'm pretty sure. And there's one where they go to that weird Lego block city where they learn how to morph into
Hawk-Bajirs. Is that with the Krayak?
And might have been with the Krayak, and it's the weird people who live on that planet are really happy and nice, and then you realize that they're trying to kill you because they know you're...
Yeah, I remember that one.
They're kind of human-ish or android-ish, like robot-ish, and they kind of, they're really friendly, and they put them in these lovely, nice rooms, and then they realize that they're being gassed, and they turn into flies to escape, and then, like, Tobias becomes a Hawk-Bajir, and he's, like, finding them all. Oh, those books are amazing.
They were also really dark, too, because, like, I don't think I ever read the final couple of books, but, like, a whole bunch of them died, didn't they?
Yeah.
Rachel died. Doesn't it end with them ramming a Yerk ship, pretty much going on a suicide mission?
They do it, Amy Adams in Man of Steel, but actually with consequences.
Yeah. They deal with, depression, obviously parental loss, like for a YA series, especially one of the earlier YA series, covered a lot.
Well, like you look at all the characters. So like Marco's thing was that his mum had died of cancer and lived with his dad who was poor and it was about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Rachel was the popular chick but who had like an eating disorder.
And she had anger issues. Like she, the whole time she was battling that sort of other side of herself.
There's a great book where she morphs into a starfish to hide from a bunch of girls and they cut the starfish in half and when it grows back together again, she morphs back and there are two Rachels.
Yeah, there's nice Rachel and mean Rachel.
There's a Rachel that's all of the inhibitions. It's basically Jekyll and Hyde. There's a Rachel that exists with all of the inhibitions and they have to convince her to turn back into a starfish and force them to go back together again, but she won't do it.
I don't remember that one.
Tobias' whole thing though, like his parents were like absent, like they were just never there.
Yeah.
Because his dad was Elfangor and Axe was his brother.
And then that was the twist. He was an Andalite.
And then his mum lost all her memories because of the fact that his dad was Elfangor.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, I forgot that.
Mm. Yeah.
Man.
Because remember in the Andalite Chronicles, it was Elfangor and then there's two humans who end up in the Andalite ship and he falls in love with one of them, with the girl, and then the guy... I think her brother is evil and I don't remember it specifically, but then they have to do some shit on the Taxon. Is it Arbron was his friend?
Yeah.
Or Arbron who gets caught in the Taxon planet. And then
he's the one who becomes the Taxon guy.
Yes. And then Elfangor goes back with the girl. I don't remember her name, but it started with L. And they go back and they like live a life on Earth and he stays in the moor for more than 2 hours. And then I think from memory, the Elymas turns up again and is like, we need you. You have to leave. And then they wipe her memories and he leaves her with Tobias.
Yeah.
And he goes back and
sounds like the plot of Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah, but like
James Gunn, you've stolen this from K.A. Applegate, mate.
Who, by the way, wrote like five of the books.
Five, yeah, something like that.
Like she wrote the Megamorphs and the
it's like the Babysitter's Club
series. Those kind of that era of YA fiction where one author would kind of, it's almost like showrunner for TV.
Exactly.
So one author would write like four or five books, and then there'd be 300 more,
right?
And they'd be written by other authors, but using that pen name. It's the Babysitter Club. There's a whole bunch like those.
Yeah.
One of those horsey kind of magic books. Did them as well.
Because that's how I got them. Because we had like a book club, the Lucky Book Club at school.
Yeah.
And I think you got like
Scholastic
one a month.
Book Fair,
something like that.
Yeah.
So if you're getting one a month, I mean, Kay Applegate would have to write like a demon,
and there would be like six coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember my school librarian hated me because like I remember I'd order books every month and I'd be so excited, and I'd see her and I'd ask her every single day if my books were there yet. And there were times when like I'd go and she would like she'd see me coming and turn around and go in the opposite direction.
Do you know what? That doesn't surprise me. A lot of people do that just in life when they see you.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I like spoken word singing, Gabe. Is this what you learn at your start of school? Gabe gets in his happy song circle. Gabe, will you sing for us? No, but I'll speak for you.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Here's the thing, though, right? We're just talking about this absurd universe, and this is it doesn't actually apply. So the rule I'm about to state doesn't work for me because I've never really been into the show.
Yeah.
The Animorphs is like a gateway drug to Doctor Who. It's like a YA Doctor Who. Absurd aliens, races of things, godlike beings, plots that are often resolved within one book while there was still an overarching narrative.
Time travel. Yeah.
And it makes sense why they decided to make it into a TV series too, because the books were insanely popular, I assume.
It's basically like mega convoluted sci-fi for kids.
Right. Yeah.
But still mega convoluted sci-fi.
Yeah.
Like I think about, like just talking about now, talking about like Elfangor's story and the Hawk-Bajir and everything, I'm like, that's just amazing tragic storytelling no matter what way you cut it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure if we went back and reread them now, they probably wouldn't hold up from a writing standpoint.
No.
But plot-wise, I mean, it's hard to argue with the mechanics of what's going on there.
Yeah.
Did anyone read her other series that she wrote?
Everworld. I know that Zaman's a big fan of it, but
I remember
it. It was a similar kind of thing to Animorphs, and it was about a group of people who have to deal with like a... But it was basically like the fantasy version of Animorphs. So they got sucked into an alternate world in which gods and myths existed. And they pissed off like Odin in like the first book, and then they're hanging out with Merlin in a later book, and one of them becomes a knight, and they're chasing after this like weird ethereal girl. It's kind of interesting. I did like four or five books, and then I was like, you know what? I like it when people turned into bears, and I went straight back to Animorphs. But I'm like, I don't think I ever finished it. How many were there in the end?
There were like 52. And that's not including the Chronicles or the Megamorphs.
I read all the Megamorphs were my favorite. I think if you were going to adapt it now, you'd just do the Megamorphs.
Well, it almost, I think the way it, like the showrunner comparison you made before is really apt, but it's almost like, if it was some like huge like mega budget media franchise, Animorphs would be the TV show, Megamorphs would be the movies.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask.
But not at the cinema; they'd be on Netflix.
Yeah, probably.
It's the Doctor Who. They're the Christmas special.
Yeah, exactly.
Megamorphs are the Christmas special.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
The Chronicles are the weird little spin-offs that you get every now and again.
Because there was the Hawk-Bajir Chronicles, there was the Andlight Chronicles, there was the Elymis Chronicles, there was a book just called Vissa,
which was about Vissa One. Yeah. No. Yeah. Visa 3, wasn't it?
No, Visa 1.
Visa 1. Was Visa that 1? Because I remember being like...
How Visa 1 ended up in...
Because Visa 3's backstory was actually in the Hawk-Bajir Chronicles.
Yes,
remember it had like... Yeah. It was a triple protagonist thing.
Yes.
It was Aldria, Dax, and whatever his number as a Yerk was.
Yeah.
And then because what he did is he ended up using Drax to get... He's the one who said to the Yerk Skies, we could use the Hawk-Bajirs as weapons.
Yeah.
Because they were peaceful. They had all the spikes on them to climb trees because their planet was just trees.
And to strip the bark off the trees.
Amazing, honestly.
Do you know, this is also just a nerdy little reveal. This is how into Animorphs I was at the age that I was when they were big. You know Choc Bars, the ice cream?
Yeah.
I used to, it was like a running gag in my family that we used to call them like Hawk-Bajirs. Right? Because they were like Choc Bar, Hawk-Bajir. To the point where like I reckon 2 years ago, I came home to Geelong once and mum was like, oh, there's some Hawk-Bajirs in the fridge. And I just went,
amazing.
She means, oh my God.
Actually, I remember obviously we lived like a country town, and I think we were visiting family in Canberra, and I was really into Animorphs at the time, and this was in the early days of the internet. So I was doing the old dial up and, you know, checking out one Animorphs page per half hour because that was what I was getting. And I stumbled on one Animorphs website that was saying that Taco Bell had Animorphs toys in the kids' meals.
Okay.
And at the time, I made no association that this was probably from like a month ago, point A. And
America.
Point B, this is in America.
Yeah.
So I made my parents take me to like a Taco Bell in Canberra because I knew that. And no, it wasn't even that. It was, I'd found out way earlier. And then we're in Canberra. And then I was like, okay, Canberra's going to have a Taco Bell. And then it didn't occur to me that like 2 months later, it probably would have been gone, and also in America.
Oh,
and then we went there and
Game.
Taco Bell even had toys in Australia. I was Well, year two was tough, man. Year two was really tough. All I wanted was a Tobias toy. And I remember, like, I think I printed the picture of the Tobias toy and showed everyone at school.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Because I was so excited to have a Tobias action figure.
They transformed, too.
Yeah, I know.
There were action figures that transformed into animals.
Don't need to tell me, Tom.
My God, this franchise was enormous.
I did have a Tobias figure.
Well, what?
I didn't get, yes, no, that's right. I didn't get like a dodgy fucking Taco Bell one. I bought one from like Big W or something because it actually had toys. And I remember, they were about yay big. And he had the beak, which was like his, I guess it was like his necktie.
Yeah.
And it lifted up over his mouth. And the wings spread out. Yeah, I totally had a Tobias action figure.
Okay.
I think I've still got it somewhere.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
No, I just remembered like a year ago, Mum was like, just mentioned offhand. She was like, oh yeah, by the way, we took all your old toys to the op shop.
Oh.
I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to need those. I need that Tobias action figure though. I'll tell you what.
Well, there's probably an op shop in Mansfield that you're hitting up sometime soon.
I'm on the first bus tomorrow morning.
Okay. Yeah. In fact, we're going to cut this on that note.
Time to go.
How has this not been, the more I talk about this, the toys, right? The books, everything. How has this not been fucking rebooted?
I don't know.
Slash, how long did the actual show run for? Not very long, I'd imagine.
A couple of seasons, yeah. I'm like, yeah. It never did as well. But again, you think of today with the sort of landscape we're looking at today, it is prime. It is ready to go because
it's a cinematic universe waiting to happen.
Yep. It is all there. Like,
you could put it on Netflix or Sci-Fi Channel probably.
Yeah.
Like the 100, that show that they've got.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I think in terms of adaptation, I suppose you could make an Animorphs movie and like, you know, make a series of movies and mash up plot points from different books. But I mean, realistically, like 52 books, one book per episode. Mm. If you had
they're probably tight 40, 30-minute episodes. They're not long.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the books, I would imagine, are probably like, what, 120 pages?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
So like what, you could get through, there's four seasons there.
I reckon, yeah.
Four seasons of content. Yeah. Wow.
And your Megamorphs Christmas special.
And here's the thing, right? So I know for a fact that some TV producers prefer things that not only have an overarching story but also have self-contained episodes, so that someone who hasn't watched like the last four episodes could still join in and watch it.
Well, I mean, like the early seasons, I read so many of those Animorphs books
individually.
Animorphs ticks those boxes. You could go to a studio executive and be like, oh yeah, there's an overarching narrative. So like the first few episodes and the last few episodes, and there's often like through lines in there, but really, you don't have to watch them in order, but like Supernatural as the sort of the example I go to.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Holy fucking shit, guys. How do we obtain the rights to Animorphs to pitch it to her?
I don't know.
Does anyone have them? Is Kay Applegate a real person? Is she alive?
Don't know.
Is she a woman? I just assume she's a woman.
She's a woman. I can't remember what the KA stands for, but yeah.
But
we're going to find her on Twitter and stalk her.
Maybe. Oh, if she's dead, I'll be really upset though. Because there's a chance.
Like, no, I'm pretty sure she's not. My fiance, Holly, was saying that her...
That's the first time I've heard you say that.
Her sister, Kerry, actually Facebook messaged her a couple of months ago because she's like, geez, Animorphs was great, and basically asked her, why isn't there Animorphs? And I can't remember what her answer was, otherwise it'd be really great.
Hang on, did she answer?
She answered her. So
there is a chance.
Basically, she doesn't have the rights. I can't remember who does, but that was her response.
Nickelodeon. They'd have lapsed by now, though.
Surely.
I've never been more passionate about something that I didn't think I was this passionate about until I've started thinking about it.
Yeah.
This show ticks so many boxes if you made it.
Well, that's exactly right. The reason I'm not doing a pitch for this one was because I went to start writing one and I was just writing the books as they were because the storylines were so great. And I'm like, well, if this is anything new, I'm just basically writing a screenplay at this point. How does this not exist?
It's got to be a TV show, not a movie.
I agree.
I think.
You could do series of movies, like obviously, how many Fast and Furious? There's going to be nine. Like, there's room for it.
At least
it would
nine.
Obviously work better as a TV show.
And also, like, I mean, it's perfect kind of four quadrant Doctor Who level entertainment, where it's like, you know, you've got your more complex sci-fi.
It doesn't need to be high budget.
Adults. Mm. You've got your, well, I mean, you say that, but then we look at the Nickelodeon version. It's like, like live animals and stuff like that. That's probably. Yeah. The Nickelodeon version probably was actually quite high budget.
Could you do it animated? No, it need to be live action.
Live action for sure.
Yeah. Is it worth thinking about it being animated?
You could do it animated. I think it would work better as live action.
It would probably feel like it's skewed younger if it was animated. Yeah. Like, I feel like it's got to be aimed at that YA.
Yeah, it would actually work amazingly well as a comic book, as like a graphic novel series.
Wow, it really would. There you go. There's your tie-in. There's a graphic novel of the TV show. Yeah. Guys, we're making money. We're printing
we're
money
printing
here.
Money.
It's just, all right, so you do it as what, four or five seasons. End of season one reveal is Marco's mum is Vissa One, I feel.
Yep.
I reckon you could even have the, where they destroy the Cardona, the original Cardona that is in that big skyscraper.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's
like book seven. So I reckon if you crammed seven books into the first series.
I reckon you could, because
how many episodes of season are we talking about? Okay, what's 52 divided by 4?
I think it was 54 and divided by 7. You could have 7 series of 7.
That's a lot.
I'd probably go four or five seasons
with 10 to 12 episodes.
Yeah.
That's
also, I'm pretty sure there are some books in there that just aren't that great.
Yeah, they could be scrapped. Sure.
I'm almost saying that you could have the end of season 1 could be the return, which I think is book 13 or 14.
Okay.
Which is Tobias learning to become a person.
Well, that
again
ties right back into your episode 1, which is end the first episode with him getting trapped.
Him being trapped, and I don't know what episode you learn that Marco's mum is Vista 1. That would be an awesome way to end the season.
Can I write this
though
pilot on spec? Right? Is that...
Can we all write this pilot on spec? I shotgun final episode of season 1.
Oh, yeah.
I shotgun anything else with Tobias.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Damo, you can have all the Marco stuff.
You can have all the Marco stuff. I'll take the Rachel storylines, actually.
Rachel was honestly one of the most complex and interesting characters.
That actress who played... So let's just talk about the series for a second. Okay. So Jake was played by
Ashmore,
who's Iceman.
Probably the most successful out of all of them, which...
Like, has he done anything other than Iceman?
Yeah.
Jake and Animorphs, mate.
I think he's done, like, some bits and pieces that I'm sure I've seen him in that I just can't remember.
Yeah.
But Rachel appears a shitload in other TV shows. Law and Order.
Is her name?
Yep, she's in, like, Supernatural.
She was in one of the straight-to-DVD I Know What You Did Last Summer sequels.
Yep. But in all seriousness, she's been in, like... She said recurring characters in like Law and Order and like, I don't know, The Good Wife, maybe. I could be wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But I couldn't tell you any of the other actors. But
Well, the guy who played Axe, he's in The Expanse. I don't know if you've seen any of The Expanse.
Yeah, the new Netflix series.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Does he play an Andalite?
No, he doesn't.
Is it a backdoor pilot for Animorphs?
Like a Martian, I believe.
An Andalite Martian?
He was also in that Stoner flick.
That narrows it down. Thanks, Damo.
Freddie from Freddie Got Fingered in it.
Oh, Tom Green?
Yeah.
Oh.
There was a movie with him. I can't
remember. What happens to the guy?
Because
I remember.
It wasn't great, obviously.
I actually remember having a book. No, I had two copies of it because I think two different people bought it for me at different points. Mm. It was like one of those flimsy little books where it's like you opened it once and the pages all fell out. And it was called like Meet the Stars of Animorphs. And it was like a profile on all of the cast members.
Yeah.
And I remember like, it had like, you know, and this was before I'd even seen the TV show. And I remember like just pouring over the full color pictures in there being like, oh my God, this looks like the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the real best thing ever of the Animorph books? Mm. The fact that the front covers show them moving.
Oh, the covers.
The flicking the pages? Yes. Right in the corner. Oh, man.
Yes.
Oh, so good.
Oh, my God. Anyway, sorry,
guys. So how do we get the rights and how do we...
All right, well, here we go. So season 1, that's easy. The problem is my memory's a little bit hazy.
Sure.
Well, I don't know what happened when, and I didn't read all the books, to be honest.
Like, I reckon we could even condense Megamorphs down into a couple of episodes at the end of season 2 where they're off for the alternative of what if you didn't take the thing.
Yeah.
The dinosaur one, probably a bit harder, but I reckon the first Megamorphs, which is where they don't have their powers, is just a 3-episode run at the end of season 2 or something
actually,
like that.
Actually, you know what? Not to make it, if you want to like thematically tie season 1 together and make it kind of about them learning to deal with their powers, and you can kind of, I don't know if this is much in the books, but you kind of play up the reluctant hero aspect of them being like, we don't want to be doing this, we don't want to be doing this.
Sure. Yeah.
Play that up, and then you make your season 3, you kind of almost pull like a Game of Thrones where the second last episode is when all the big stuff happens.
Yes.
Yeah. You have a 2-part sort of, not season finale, but a 2-part season climax, which is the Megamorphs episode where they don't get the powers.
Yep.
They go back in time and change and they don't get the powers.
Yep.
And then that's kind of your 2-part climax, and then you have an epilogue episode, which is the return.
Yeah, nice.
And then you have like a quieter, softer kind of kiss-off episode, which ties Tobias back in thematically to the start. And then you've kind of got a story
The final beat of that story is you see like Vissa 3's, because they've blown up that thing in the tower, so Vissa 3's in trouble. So you don't have the Animorphs learn that Vissa 1 is Marco's mum. You have the audience learn
that
Vissa 1 is Marco's mum at the end of season 1. And people go, oh my God, Bruce Willis is a ghost.
And then, because like those last couple episodes about them like, you know, confronting their powers and being like, what if we never got this, stuff like that. Your whole first season is about, you know,
acceptance of it. Yeah.
And then you got season 2. What are the ramifications of accepting it?
Exactly.
You have the anger issues with Rachel. Jake sort of has some resistance to leadership.
Because his brother is a Yerk.
And Tom, his brother is a Yerk.
I forgot about that.
That's the reason they work out the places in the school because Tom keeps going to the school for like band practice or something weird every couple of days. And Jake realizes, I think he's a Yerk. And then he has like some radio thing or they work it out. There's something. Oh, I can't remember what it is, but there's a giveaway about like Yerks don't like X or like salt probably.
Yeah, there was something like that. Yeah.
What a weird alien too, and what a brilliant concept. An alien like that
crawls into your head.
That intrinsically links to that like invasion of the body snatchers kind of sci-fi terror.
Remember that? I don't remember if this was one of the books or not, but it was definitely an episode of the show where they had mobile phones and the Yerks were in the phones.
Oh, really?
And were, like, crawling into their ears through the phones. I don't think that was one of the books. I think that was something that was made up for the TV show.
That's amazing.
And then maybe so then
mass producing Yerkes.
Yeah.
You have Visser 1 is like, so Visser 3 is like an old school like guy.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is he's the old school Yerk. Like, no, it's about this, what we're going to do. And Visser 1, the reason she's now Visser 1 is because she's like, we're doing marketing.
She can keep up with the times.
Wait, hang on. Visser 3 had an Andalite's body, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
It wasn't Elfangor's. It was.
No. It was the Andalite. He gets an Andalite's body in the bloody.
Who was he like some Andalite general or something?
Yeah,
He was like the general who was superior to Elfangor in the Andalite Chronicles.
Yes.
And then he ended up being Visser 3's body.
Yeah. And then, because the other thing too is that, and then once he became an Andalite, he just went around to every planet and found the most dangerous creature and could morph into.
Yeah, he had
what was that gigantic monster that he killed Elfangor in? That wasn't the Krayak, was it? No, it wasn't.
Krayak's like a god type thing.
Yeah, but it was like that huge, giant, like reptilian dragon-like creature that was the most fearsome thing in there.
I don't remember.
Whether it was a giant taxon or something. But no, anyone could be taxons. Mm. It was basically he'd found this deadly creature. It was like the Andalite's mortal enemy, the creature, whatever it was. Okay. It like killed Andalites. He found the last one, absorbed it, killed it, and then became.
Because that whole idea of the Yerkes like just desperately wanting an Andalite morph because it comes with.
Yeah.
Not an Andalite morph, an Andalite controllers, because it comes with all the other things. Morph,
all the other perks.
Oh,
man. Like, this show would be amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then things like, you know, season two is about, like, you know, accept or what comes after acceptance, like, you know, great power comes great responsibility, stuff like that, then maybe, I don't remember at what point chronologically this came in the series, but maybe season two finale is the David arc, with them being like, right, we're bringing someone else in, because, you know, now we're getting cocky, now we're kind of getting into it. Yeah, cool, we can bring someone else in, and then it goes wrong. Yep. And there's them realizing, no, again, with great power comes great responsibility, we've got that responsibility, we maybe shouldn't be handing this off to other people arbitrarily. Yes. Exactly.
When does Axe come in? He comes in after Tobias gets...
Yeah,
I think so.
He comes in pretty early on.
Because I don't know whether you might have Axe in season one, but I reckon Axe would be great to introduce season two.
Yeah,
just to mess with the crime. We're adapting it, so we can do whatever we want, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, if we're imagining a scenario where it's like, you know, we don't get our spin off Netflix films like the Hawk Bajir Chronicles or whatever.
Sure.
You remember the way those books were actually structured, where like it was the Hawk Bajir Chronicles was the I don't remember their names, but the Hawk Bajir and the Peaceful Colony that they set free at one point.
Yeah,
and it was them telling Tobias the story of
the
Hawk Bajir. So it could be like a two-part episode, like those lost episodes.
It's the Hawk Bajir that he gets the ability to morph into a Hawk Bajir from because he frees them and they trust him.
Because it's like a peaceful one.
Yeah. And then
that's like the one that doesn't want to fight.
Yeah, because and then they start like a valley of them. Like a colony.
That's what, there's a colony of them on Earth, like the Grand Canyon or some shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my
God,
the
show! So good. Oh, that's an episode. The Hawk Bajir Chronicles is compressed down an episode where Tobias is talking.
What was that episode? The last season of Fargo?
That's it. The last season of Fargo. It's episode three of season three of Fargo. Yeah. The Hawk Bajir Chronicles.
Yeah.
And the Andalite Chronicles can work in your backstory.
Oh, yeah. You find it.
And that's the thing. You can.
I'm pretty sure
so
it was like
storylines you can thread along in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, even the Alamist, you could just have a little hint at it in season one, and then don't worry about it for a bit.
And then season four, it's like the Alamist.
Season four,
is
it's going to be huge. Yeah.
Well, like glimpses of, because I think I'm pretty sure the Alamist Chronicles like. The framing device was him talking to a dying animal, who we later found out was Rachel. And you could almost like start your final season with like the glimpse of him talking to a dying animal, and then maybe like thread his backstory through that final season.
And then you learn that the dying in like the second or third last episode of the season, you learn that the dying animal is Rachel because she then dies.
Yeah.
There are so many ways you can handle it.
All right. Yeah. So on to the next logical question. Who's in it, guys?
Casting. Look, my only thoughts on that was pretty much grab whoever wants to from the Strange Things gang.
Well, I was going to say a bit older, and I was going to say just get the cast of Power Rangers and put them in Animorphs.
Because the problem with it is that like,
because they're teenagers,
sure, they didn't say what their ages were, but I'm pretty sure by the end they announced it, and it was like they started out as like 13 and were 16 by the end of it.
Yeah.
So to fan cast 13-year-olds is really, really hard.
So you need to go for like Sarah Hyland, who looks like she could play 15, even though she's like 27.
Or like Tom Holland, who's like 21 or 22.
Tom Holland, Sarah Hyland, some of the older guys from Stranger Things, the cast of Power Rangers, like a couple of those guys are like 26, 27, and they look like
X-23 from Logan. I don't know what her name was.
Too young, I reckon.
Too young.
But I mean, I reckon, you know, like maybe Tom Holland would be probably a pretty good Jake, actually.
Tom Holland would be a great Axe, let's be honest.
Oh, okay, I could see him
Tom Holland being like,
human.
Yes, I can people. Why has he got such a weird accent? He's from England. Yes, I'm from England. You know, that'd
be
fun.
He could almost be like a Tobias as well. Mm. Really, Spider-Man Homecoming is really good. I'm happy to throw anything.
There you go. Zendaya could be like Rachel or Cassie.
Yeah.
Rachel, actually, because she's got that.
Yeah. She's got that
yeah.
streak. But like I said, you could cast
Marco. We cut.
No, we need Marco. So Marco, so like again, to go to the Power Rangers film, the guy who plays Jason in Power Rangers could play Marco.
Yeah. I haven't seen Power Rangers.
Like,
so
that'd be fine. I think Tom Holland needs to, like, he could be Jake or he could be Axe. I don't think he could be Tobias. Yeah, Tobias needs to be a little bit, you know.
Bit broken.
But he could be the kid from, I haven't watched the show, but Jughead from...
From Riverdale.
Riverdale. Apparently he's like a cool, edgy person and... people on Tumblr want to have sex with him. So he's Tobias.
He's cool.
Because that's perfect.
Yeah. That was his character, yeah.
You know, that's absolutely perfect. Bryan Cranston is Vista 3. Cool, done. Yeah, moving on.
Thank you. Boy.
We're batting deep. We're batting deep. We're going hard. Or is Mads Mikkelsen Vista 1? Vista 3?
Oh, Viola Davis is Vista 1.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Right. That's amazing.
Right?
That's actually amazing.
Right?
Oh.
So this occurred to me then.
I want to watch this.
I'm shook. I don't say that.
Because, you know, people like your Andalites. I mean, budget constraints notwithstanding, we're thinking probably mocap. Like, who would you make your Andalites? Who would you make, like, Elfangle? You need someone, like, kind of fatherly, but kind of troubled, kind of complex.
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, well.
Russell Crowe for Carney's sake.
No.
We want talent.
It's got to be, I mean, he's going to play the human morph too, so.
The human morph of Elfangor. What's his name? Sean Bean.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Because he dies.
So. Yeah. Perfect.
Fatherly and also dies.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so hang on. Let's just backtrack a second. Mm. So Tom Holland, let's call Tom Holland Axe.
Yep. Right.
Done. Who did we say was Tobias? Jughead from Riverdale.
Yeah, sure.
I'm trying to think of actors from the 13 Reasons Why, because there'd be some good actors in there you could slot in.
We said Zendaya as Rachel, yeah?
Yep. Yeah.
We still need a Cassie.
And a Marco and a Jake, really.
Well, you said guy from...
A guy from Power Rangers can be Jake.
Yep.
I was even thinking one of the guys from 13 Reasons Why, the kind of bad boy guy.
Yeah.
He could play a good Jake.
Great.
Marco, again, I'd go Power Rangers, the guy who plays Billy in Power Rangers, because Marco's a bit of a nerd.
Yeah.
And he plays a good nerd. And believable that his mum would be Viola Davis.
Mm.
Who else? Who else do we need? Cassie.
Cassie. Yeah.
We could get. Just trying to think of other shows with like characters that are interesting.
Yeah.
Sarah Hyland could play Cassie, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
Give us money. Give us the dollars. Yeah. Like
this is going to bring the cash raking in, particularly with this A-list cast that we've assembled.
Yeah.
I know, right?
And they're definitely going to sign up and do it at this point in their careers.
So while we're having fun imagining all this, would you throw in new storylines? Would you stick purely to the source material?
You could invent new self-contained episodes, I'm sure.
I think you'd have to.
Because it's a big world. I mean, realistically.
It's a big world. I think, it's hard to say without going back and meticulously rereading all 54 books, because I'm sure that there's stuff in there that can be gotten rid of. I'm sure there's stuff in there.
Hey, Gabe, there's your next challenge, mate.
It would still
you could get them all online.
Be quicker than one book of Wheel of Time.
Look, you're not wrong.
Yeah. You could get through all 54 Animorph books in the time it would take me to read the blurb of Wheel of Time. Because I'd get bored looking at it. Thinking about looking at it.
Yeah.
I'm legitimately
If he's going to do all 54, he's not just doing all 54. He's doing Megamorphs. He's doing the Chronicles.
And I'll Wikipedia it and find out chronologically when Megamorphs fits in and all of that. Yeah.
And there's the thing, though. There's the scope, though, of framing a book series as detailed as this. They've already done it with a series of unfortunate events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a detailed show, high budget. Mm. They're condensing four books into
And I kind of feel sentence. Like to a mainstream audience, this is actually an easier sell than Unfortunate Events.
No doubt.
And also structurally as a TV show, lenses like Unfortunate Events, they've kind of had to finagle it and be like, all right, 8 episodes, 2 episodes per book, like this part one and part two, like, and by its very nature, it kind of makes it a little bit repetitive. Like, I kind of feel like this would lend itself more to a TV show than
Absolutely. Yeah.
Does anyway.
And again, you'd have self-contained episodes, but then as you got closer, like to season 5, for example, you'd get less self-contained episodes in the same way that there are less self-contained episodes in the books.
Yeah.
It's an amazing 5-season arc here.
Isn't there a book, like a series where they go to like an underwater
base? Yeah.
And they become like sharks?
Yes.
And a dolphin?
Yes. And there was like a race of aliens. They've got like a... They look like dogs, and they've got like a dog-looking submarine.
Yes, that's right.
I don't remember what they were called or what their relevance was, but I remember them.
Yeah, and that's when they were like a sperm whale to get down deep enough to find them. They had to become a sperm whale.
Giant squid. That was the animal they decided, and so somehow Rachel turned into a sperm whale to bite
the
giant squid, and then she got the DNA of the squid
and then brought back the squid for them all to get the DNA off. Oh my god, such a convoluted, amazing plot.
So good.
It's fantastic though. Like it sells itself.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and stop bringing back Captain Planet. This is the fucking show that you need to bring back.
Exactly. And with every season, you could just expand it a bit more, show a new alien race that exists, introduce the time travel, alternative stuff.
Going back and having an understanding of the 54 books, having read them properly, then you can kind of figure out, I mean, you can sort of like mix and match a bit, I think, and like swap books around everything so that it ties in more thematically. So it's how Doctor Who, like when it first kind of came back, it slowly reintroduced the classics. So it was like Daleks was season one, Cybermen was season two, The Master was season three, Davros was season four, I think Silurians was season five. It was like they sort of like bit by bit kind of brought back the classics and introduced a new major alien with every season.
Yeah.
So you kind of like, you know, move the plots around to make that work, introduce things as you need to. And I think that would kind of lend itself to like very, very cohesive, well-structured seasons. Like you probably get five seasons out of this.
Yeah, I think five easy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm... Why aren't... Oh, fuck, I'm so angry that, like... I feel like this is incredibly achievable.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even kidding.
It's so obvious.
Yeah. Okay, anyone listening to this episode, like, copyright us. Don't you be running to KAL.
There's a big old C in a circle stamped on this episode.
We'll just take the copyright of Adibors.
Well, like, if... No. Yeah, no, that's problematic. That's super problematic.
Yeah.
Let's pull our meager resources and buy the film rights.
Let's fucking do it.
And then see what we can do with it after that.
Whoever's got them clearly isn't using them well enough because...
Whoever's got them is a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Unless it's a case where she signed them to 10 years to Nickelodeon and they're still there.
The Nickelodeon's a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Well,
like, we live in the age of Netflix.
Yeah.
Like, this can happen.
Hey, what if it is? What if someone's already doing it?
Ooh.
Boy, oh boy.
They need to get.
Is it Noah Hawley? Because it should be Noah Hawley.
I'm sure that Animorphs is number one on his list.
Yeah. Can you imagine how good Noah Hawley's Animorphs would be?
Oh, it'd be amazing.
It would absolutely be amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah. Oh, man. Were there other Visses that we've skipped? Not really.
Not Vissa that I remember.
Two,
not
one and three were the main ones. One and three are the main ones. And you just have them at odds. So Vissa 1's like the modern hip Viola Davis, but younger than
Yerk
inside Vissa 3.
Yeah, I seems like an old army general.
Because Vissa 3 becomes Vissa 1, doesn't he, eventually?
He does,
yeah.
Because actually free his mum from her Vissa at one point, right?
That can be like the end of season 4 or something.
Vissa.
You know, I'm just looking at the posters in the room and I'm like, is Vissa 3 Bruce Campbell?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or is that too ridiculous?
I think that's a bit too ridiculous.
He would have to be in it, though. As like a principal at the school,
the vice principal was a
Yerk.
And then for season 5, you could have it as, because it goes to all out war. The humans eventually learn, the rest of the humans eventually learn about all of this. So end of season 4 is when it gets out, and season 5 is just war.
Guys, why would we think of this before? What's her name? Hit Girl can be Cassie.
Really?
How old she
She's
now?
More of a Rachel, surely.
Yeah.
True. All right, then
Cassie's
swap it.
A pacifist.
Zendaya's Cassie.
Is Zendaya wasted on Cassie? Because Cassie's kind of like the quieter, more caring, sort of gentle one.
All right, then. Ignore me. Chloe Cassie's... Grace Moretz isn't in our show then.
Yeah. Fine. Go back to what we had before.
Cassie's tough because she's a bit more of a pacifist. She's like an animal lover.
Well, then is she what's her name? Sophia Ann Robb, who's from...
Carrie
Diaries. Right. She plays Cassie.
Yeah. Yes.
She's that kind of nice.
That's good.
Heartbreaking.
Can't talk about it.
So look, the consensus is reboot the fuck out of this show, adapt these books.
And our jobs are really easy because they've been done for us.
Yeah.
You don't need to maintenance the series, you just need to make it properly.
Yeah. Just do it justice. Last question.
Yeah.
What animal would you turn into?
I want to say a shark, but that kind of...
I knew you were going to go to shark.
What can I be? And I'm like, nah, kill a whale, but that's really dependent on the context that I'm in.
Look,
I'm going to go duck. People feed you bread. You can fly. You can swim.
Not very well.
No, they're all over the board, mate. There's no place they can't go.
All right. Now, look, that's fair. I'm immediately going like, oh, I want to be cool. One of those thorny devils. That would be interesting. Those like things that drink water just by standing still.
Yeah, righto.
But no, that's a lame one. I don't want to be a lizard that lives in the desert and could get run over.
Yeah, lizard would be cool until you think about it. Yeah. Maybe like even just a dog.
Yeah.
Would be pretty, because remember they always make dogs loss. Sound really good in the books.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, you know, you just feel great
yeah.
about everything.
Yeah, yeah, always yeah. Has yeah. Awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to be a bird because the way Depius talks about flying is awesome.
Oh, fuck.
So yeah. I'm going to be a hawk.
Hawk.
Yeah, that was another choice. Thing, but like really.
I'd be an ibis.
Really, they were so good at like describing what it felt like to be the animal.
Yeah, yeah.
And to make it be like, oh man, I want to be a dog. I want to be a bird.
You had to fight the animal's instincts because you were constant, which is what was so hard about being a taxon. Because their overriding drive to consume was so powerful.
Mm.
And there was that whole thing where Tobias is a hawk and there are times where he forgets that he's a person as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because doesn't he kill something and he's heartbroken over it? Because he's like, holy shit, I just killed that animal.
But then he's
no
like,
reason.
I'm real hungry.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And then when he turns into a human, he often forgets that he's a human and it'll just be like, I'm just going to clean my arm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I had a t-shirt. I remember because we got the Lucky Book Club one time, a t-shirt came in. And it was the logo, but it glowed in the dark. It was like two sizes too big for me, but I wore the shit out of that t-shirt.
Mate.
Whoa. So good. Sorry. I'm going on eBay when this is done. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Facebook messaging K.A. Applegate, because apparently that's something you can do.
Mate, she responds.
She's all over the social media.
I'm going to follow her on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm
what
gonna
a
find
world
out.
Of possibilities.
I'm going to find out all the actors who are in the original Animorphs and follow all of them on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yes. Done.
Oh, my God. Can we get a reunion? Can we bring some of them back as the parents?
I want to say maybe.
Maybe. We've already got our visas covered.
I feel like if our budget's being blown on your Tom Hollands and your Zendayas, we're probably going to have enough money left to get Brooke Nevin and the rest of them.
Yeah.
Do we have a moment where, like they meet their future selves? So like it's the original cast, which would be weird because we've kind of gender swapped, race swapped.
We've race swapped Rachel and Cassie. So
True. Mm. There is a book though where I think Rachel goes forward in time. Or maybe Jake goes forward in time.
There you go. He just meets
and
Sean
Ashmore. They're all like 23-year-olds, but it's alternative timeline where
they didn't
get their powers. Yeah.
Jake's a York slave boy. Oh, there you go. No, I'd morph into an Andalite that I could be anything.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Done.
I feel like that's,
even though I am an Andalite.
I feel like that's you rubbing the lamp and saying, I wish for more wishes.
Yeah, right. I'm a piece of shit.
Did I ever tell you about that time I was at this party and like everyone was, you know, drinking, having a good time.
Mm.
And then I was kind of like, the girl next to me had this like tattoo on her leg, like this really big tattoo covering her whole leg. And I was kind of like, glancing over, just like, what? It was an Andalite?
Oh.
And I was just like,
did you propose?
I literally had to use one hand to force the other hand down from finding what I could use as a ring and presenting it to her on the spot. But I literally spent the rest of that party discussing Animorphs.
Brilliant.
It was the best.
Great party.
So good.
I love that all your party goings either end with you reading a book or talking about books.
Well, you know.
Yeah. On that note, I've been Damien.
I've been Handsome Tom.
I've been Gabe.
And if you have any thoughts, ideas, or comments about Animorphs or just want to say hi, you can send us an email at moviemaintenance@sanspantsradio.com or you can find us on Twitter at @mmsanspants. On our individual Twitters, I'm @middaypajamas.
I'm @awkwardtreed.
I'm @goldbergmoser.
Thanks, guys.
Go hassle Kaya Applegate.
Hi, my name's Jake. I thought I knew who I was. A kid who liked to do normal things. You know, go to school, play video games, hang out with my friends. But the other night, my whole life changed when my friends and I were given the power to morph. You know, change shapes, become animals. So now Marco, Cassie, Tobias, my cousin Rachel and I can become dogs, cats, tigers, hawks, anything. Pretty cool, right? Not when you're the only thing between a bunch of mind-controlling alien yurks and the end of the world. You can't tell anybody because you never know who's a yurk and who's not. All I know is now I'm an Animorph.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support the show, why not become a member at SansPantsPlus.com and get early access to our shows, a bunch of exclusive content, and much, much more. That's SansPantsPlus.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.